The Abbé Bigot learned a secret from Marie d'Autepoux de Blanchefort before she died. When he fled France in 1793, he hid what he knew in the church at Rennes-le-Château. That information was later found by Saunier in 1891, within a glass vial. "We know all that," Malone said. "What we don't know is Bigot's secret." "Ah, but you do," Clarendon said. "Let me see Lars's notebook." Stephanie handed him the journal. He anxiously shuffled through it and showed them a page. This cryptogram was supposedly inside the glass vial.
"How do you know that?" Malone asked.
"To know that, you must understand Saunier."
"We're all ears."
When Saunier was alive, not a word was ever written about the money he spent. When he died in 1917, he was totally forgotten. In 1947, his mistress sold the entire estate to a man named Noël Corbu. The mistress died 6 years later. The so-called Tale of Saunier, about his great treasure find, first appeared in print in 1956. A local newspaper published 3 installments that supposedly told the true story. But the source for that material was Corbu.
"I know this," Stephanie said. "Corbu embellished everything, adding to the story, changing it all around."
Clarendon nodded. Fiction completely took over fact.
"You're talking about the parchments?" Malone asked.
"An excellent example. Saunier never found parchments in the altar pillar. Never. Corbu and others added that detail. Not one person has ever seen those parchments. Yet their texts have been printed in countless books. It's nonsense, all of it, and Lars knew that."
"But Lars published the text of the parchments in his books," Malone said.
"He and I spoke of that. All he would say is, people love a mystery."
Malone was confused.
"So is Saunier's story a lie?"
Clarendon nodded. "The modern rendition is mainly false."
Malone motioned to the cryptogram.
"Where did Lars find this?"
"Corbu penned a manuscript all about Saunier."
Some of the words from the 8 pages of the journal sent to Ernst Scoville swept through his mind. What Lars had written about the mistress.
"At one point, she did reveal to Noël Corbu one of Saunier's hiding places. Corbu wrote of this in his manuscript I managed to find."
While Corbu spent time dealing in the fiction of Rennes, in his manuscript, he did a credible job of detailing the true story, as he learned it from the mistress.
More of what Lars had written ran through Malone's mind.
What Corbu found, if anything, is never revealed by him.
But the wealth of information contained within his manuscript makes one wonder where he could have learned all that he wrote about.
"Corbu, of course, let no one see the manuscript, since the truth was not nearly as captivating as the fiction. He died in the late 60s from a car crash, and his manuscript disappeared. But Lars found it."
Malone studied the rows of letters and symbols on the cryptogram.
"So what is this? Some type of code?"
"One quite common for the 18th and 19th centuries. Random letters and symbols arranged in a grid. Somewhere in all that chaos is a message. Basic, simple, and quite difficult to decipher without the key."
"Did Lars ever decipher it?" Stephanie asked.
"He was unable, and it frustrated him. Then, in the weeks before he died, he thought he came across a new clue."
Malone's patience was wearing thin.
"I assume he didn't tell you what that was."
"No, monsieur, that was his way."
"So where do we go from here? Point the way like you're supposed to."
"Return here at 5 p.m., on the road just beyond the main building. I'll come to you."
"How can you leave?"
"No one here would be sad to see me go."
"Where are we going?"
Clarendon turned to the window and pointed eastward. In the far distance, miles away, on a hilltop overlooking Avignon, stood a palace rising out against the eastern sky. Malone knew that 7 French popes ruled Christendom from within those fortress walls.
"To the Palais des Papes," Clarendon said.
"The Palace of the Popes."